Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
So one of the great privileges of the spiritual journey, one of the great privileges of my life, and I think all of our lives when we step into it, is to be people who become disciples of Jesus, who help make disciples of Jesus. That's the great privilege of life, to be people who make disciples and make disciples. And one of the things that I've had the privilege to do over the years is I meet with men, especially younger men, is I ask them a question, just about every guy I ever meet with, at some point in time, I ask the question, let's begin with the end in mind. It's an idea that comes from Stephen Covey from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. But as we're starting this journey, I want to begin with the end in mind. Where do you want to be when you die? And if you want to be here when you die, let's step back here now while we're alive and say, what do I need to do? How do I need to be now so that I get there when I die? And the Stephen Covey exercise is you imagine walking into a funeral, you walk into the casket, and your body is inside the casket, you sit down while 4 to 5 people get up to talk about you. And what do they say? And is what they say what you want them to say? What you want them to say is what they would say now. And if it's not, then you back up here now and say, how do I begin to be? How do I begin to do so that that is said of me when I die? So earlier this year, I was hanging out with my young friend, Ty, who's a new Christ follower. And I did this exercise with him. And I said, Ty, begin with the end of mind exercise. And he looks at me, brand new believer, not much church background. We've been doing some study in the Bible. And he goes, well, I want people to say of me that verse in Galatians we've been looking at, talking about the fruit. And we opened it up and we read it together. He said, I want to be said of me this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. He said, Matt, I want people to say that Ty is loving, Ty is joyful, Ty is peaceful, Ty is full of patience, he's full of kindness. I want him to say all those things. I looked at him and said, dude, in all my years of doing the beginning of the end of mind exercise, I've never had anyone say that list, and that might be the best list I've ever heard. That is so, just how, so what are you going to do to get, are you there? And what are you going to do to get there? And he looked at me with this sheepish kind of like, duh, look on his face. And he said, well, duh, don't I just need to focus on being with Jesus, abiding with Jesus, and those things will come out? I said, welcome to theology school. You got it. That's it. That's it. It's without a doubt the simplest, best answer I've ever heard, and yet we all know it's really hard. Don't we want these things to be said of us? This is why we're doing this series. We're doing this series so that we become people who have produce or fruit come out of our lives. And as we've said throughout this series, we cannot produce this produce. This produce can only happen as we are people who be with Jesus. We're human beings, not human doings. And as we be with Jesus, this produce comes out of us. We cannot just will it to be. As we said throughout this series, produce or fruit is the thermometer that shows we've been with Jesus. It just shows the temperature. But the Holy Spirit, being with Jesus, abiding with the Holy Spirit, is the thermostat that sets the temperature. Fruit, produce, just shows we've been with Jesus. Fruit, produce, just shows we're becoming more like Jesus and we're doing what Jesus did. But being with Jesus is the key. That's what this series is really about. It's about being with him so that we become like him, so that we then do what he said to do. That's the discipleship journey. In that order, be with Jesus. So we become like Jesus. We smell like Jesus. We look like Jesus. We have the aroma of Christ. And then we go and do what he said to do. But everyone else in this room knows how hard it is to abide, because everything in the world right now is fighting to distract us from stillness and quietness. In his book, Get Your Life Back, John Eldridge writes about this. And in classic fashion, this is one of 12 books I've read four chapters and I tell people they should read, but I've not finished it yet. How many, can I get an amen? Anybody else? Because I'm too busy. And it probably could be a pamphlet instead of a book anyway, but that's another story. Anyway, here's what he says to open the book. There's a madness to our cultural moment, and we need to name it for the lunacy that it is, because it's taking our lives hostage. The lunacy is that we are living at a blistering pace of life. Now we're living at the speed of the swipe and the like, moving so fast through our days that typing a single sentence can feel cumbersome. Everyone I talk to says they feel busier than ever. My musician friends aren't playing as much music anymore. My gardening friends don't seem to have as much time to plant. I currently have 8 books I've started to read, and I haven't made it past the first chapter in any of them. Can I get an amen? We've been sucked into a pace of life nobody's enjoying. Then there's the deluge of media coming at us in a sort of mesmerizing digital spell. We spend 3 hours a day using apps on our phones, 10 hours viewing media, consuming enough information a week to crash a laptop. We talk about unplugging. We say we want to unplug, but we're enchanted. We're enchanted by the endless social media circus of love and hatred, the vapid, the alarming, the sensational, and the unforgivable. We're snagged by every new notification. And while we've always had our individual struggles and heartbreaks to deal with, now we have the tragedies of the entire world delivered to us hourly on our mobile devices. This is all very hard on the soul. In fact, I'd call it traumatizing. Anybody agree? It's not clap-worthy, it's sad-worthy. It's what we're all doing. I mean, I'm like, I caught on Instagram when I came on staff here, because that's what senior pastors of a big church do. And like, after 2 weeks of Instagram and watching golf videos and dog videos, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just lost 82 hours watching worthless stuff. It just sucks us in, and we must be people, must be for our sake and for the sake of the world around us, that abide in Jesus, connect to the vine, so that we produce the beautiful produce that's listed in that verse. It's got to be our top priority. That's why we're doing this series. So of all the aspects of the fruit that we've been looking at, by the way, as we said, this is not fruits. It's not 9 fruits. It's one fruit, 9 aspects, like an orange has 9 slices on it. It's one fruit. And as we abide in Jesus, we get all aspects of the fruit. But of all the 9 aspects, there's one that stands head and shoulders above the rest. There's one that when we abide in this one, it elevates all the others. As Clay said last week, there's just not 9 aspects. There's lots of aspects. But this one that we're talking about today is both a means and an end of abiding. It cannot be achieved. None of them can be achieved. They're only received. They're a byproduct of being with the Father. And when it's received, this one, it's released and unleashed above all the others for more impact. What are we talking about? Love. The number one call is to abide in Jesus and to abide in his love. The greatest commandment of these is love. And Jesus says to be first, to be loved first. And then love. Your number one job as a Christ follower, as a human, is to be loved. You're not to go do love first. You be loved first. And when you be loved, you do love. Now, as you do more love, you experience more love. It's a beautiful circle of life. John 15:5. We've looked at this every week. Jesus says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. Whoever abides in me, remains in me, sticks with me, and I in him. By the way, it's not an if-then statement. It's when you say yes to him, when you believe in his life, death, his resurrection, you are saved. The Holy Spirit is in you. You're in him. He's in you. But you got to stay connected to the vine, because he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The Greek word there, New Testament is written in Greek. The Greek word for you can is dynaste. It means power. It's where we get our word for dynamite. The phrase is literally, apart from me, your power is nothing. There's no power you have. Implication, with him, abiding in him, we have unspeakable power. And the main power source is love. Love is our power source because, as we're going to look in a minute, God is love. And if he is love, love is what we get. Love is all you need. I don't know, that's the Beatles, isn't it? Something like that. Love is it, but Jesus is it first. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. When we abide in Jesus, we abide in the Father. We abide in love. Here's the deal. Love is not the goal. A lot of us make love an idol. Love is not the goal. Jesus is the goal. Connecting with Jesus is the way. But when we abide in Jesus, because he is love, we abide in love and we experience love. We know we're loved, and thus we then go love. As you recall throughout this series, we've been saying there's two ways we abide. We either abide in self or we abide in the Holy Spirit. And the way of abiding in self looks really self-care. I mean, that's the Oprahification of America. Love yourself. The counselors of the world are saying, love yourself. But if you love yourself, we are called to love ourselves as he loves us. But if you loving yourself is the goal, you'll end up loveless. If you're the object of your affection, you'll end up loveless. Here's what Galatians 5 says about the way of abiding in self in the Message version. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. That's self-absorption. Loveless cheap sex, repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. When you're all about self, your mind gets jobbled about you and it's garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. Trinket gods, magic show religion. We look to God not for who he is, but what he can do for us. It's about trying to puppet him to do for us what we want done rather than be with him because he's God. We experience paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved. And he says, I could go on. The focus on self ends in lovelessness, but abiding in the Spirit ends in nothing but beautiful, sweet love. Being with Jesus equals being loved, and thus loving, and only Jesus, and only the power of the Spirit in us is the cure for a loveless life. Only being with him gives us the hope and cure from lovelessness that we need. It's a simple command, and it must be done every day, and yet it's really hard. Years ago, I was speaking at a student sports camp. High school students came from all over the United States to be at this sports camp, and I used to do lots of camps like that, summer camps, and because I used to be an athlete, so that's why they invited me. Anyway, they would do these games. Every student was on a different team, and they did different war games, very, very cool, kind of like Gilliland Camp type of thing. Well, one of the games they had was a water balloon launcher. You know, each team had, those water balloon launchers. I used to shoot them in college at co-eds walking across campus. It wasn't very nice, but it was really funny. Anyway, but I, as the speaker, was in the field along with other people, but I was all the way in the back because if they hit me, they got the most points. I was 10,000 points because I was a speaker. And they're launching them at me, and they're not even coming close. And I'm on my chair just mocking them, like I do. I'm like, I spit in your face. You can't do anything. I'm Monty Python, right? I'm making fun of them. You can't do anything. You're not even close. And they're just not even coming close. And I'm mocking so hard. Finally, I pick up my chair, because I'm known to have a little cockiness in me. I pick up my chair, and I take it to the very front of all the other leaders, and I stand up. I go, now see what you can do. And then they go from launching like this to now launching like this. And right as they launch like this, literally I'm like, now see what you can do. One comes right at me and I do this. And literally I do this. I think, wow, that's coming really fast and hard. I bet that would hurt. I didn't even get the thought hurt out of my brain when boom, one hits me right in the gut, below the belly button, above other things. And I go down on the ground. I felt like I've been punched in the gut so hard. I was down on the ground writhing, but I'm doing like, I'm okay, I got it. The leader of the camp comes running to me. Matt, you okay? I'm fine. He goes, you got blood coming out of your mouth. I literally was spitting a bubble. I'm good. Put some dirt on it. I'm fine. Well, I go through the rest of the week of the camp with a massive welt on my stomach. I get home. I tell Kim about it. And the pain doesn't go away. It just keeps getting worse. The swelling subsided, but it just keeps getting worse. And 1 week becomes 2 weeks, becomes 3 weeks. And I'm not going to the doctor because I'm trying to tough it out. And we didn't have insurance. We were in seminary. And back in the days where you didn't have to have insurance and MRIs cost a lot. I keep avoiding it. 2 months goes by and I'm in excruciating pain. Like I'm doubled over every day. Kim is like, you've got to go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor. He does a $1,000 MRI and he comes out and he says, the scarring in your your intestines, a big section of your intestines is scarred. So stuff isn't passing through. I have one simple cure for you. It is simple. And it must be done every day. Make it your number one priority. Like, let nothing else get in the way of this, and you will experience freedom again. I said, what is it? He reached in the bag, and he says, Metamucil. You take this every day. Freedom! I started taking it, and freedom! Simple. Very simple cure. Every day, I should be a spokesperson. They should pay me money. I take it every day. Why do I tell you this story? You're like, why did you just tell me a story about your bowels? Why? Because Jesus is our Holy Spirit Metamucil. It's right there. You spend time with Jesus every day, tapping into the vine. You'll experience cleansing like you'll never know. It'll flush out your system like you've never known. You'll experience your identity like you've never known. I could go on. Like you're thinking, what a dumb illustration, but you'll remember it, won't you? Jesus is your lifeline. He is your way connected to the Holy Spirit. Abiding in him is simple. It is not complex. And we should not complex up the spiritual journey. It is simple, but it must be committed to every day. Time with him, abiding with him, abiding in him. Knowing him. If you don't want to abide in him, it's your loss. People come to me all the time. My life's list is, are you abiding with the Father? Well, I don't have time. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not saying that the moment you abide, your problems go away. I'm not saying that. But it starts there. And we abide in him and his love, and then we begin to know we're loved. We begin to believe we're loved, and guess what happens? Love begets love. Love begets love for Jesus, and love begets love for others. You become a more loving person, and those nine aspects will begin to flow out of you. Our first goal is to abide in Jesus and his love, and then we love. One of the devotions I did with some buddies of mine was Crazy Love by Francis Chan. Again, grab guys, grab women to meet together and do a devotion on an app together. And he talks about this, day six of the devotion, he says, have you ever met somebody who is utterly and desperately in love with Jesus? I have. My wife's grandma, Clara. Every morning, Clara would kneel by her bed and spend precious hours with her Savior, Jesus, and her lover. And as a result, she was truly one of the most loving people I'd ever met. Daily, she gave of herself to loving Jesus, being loved by Jesus, and then praying for and loving others. Grandma Clara acted toward God the way we act toward people we're madly in love with. When we're truly in love, you go to great lengths to be with the one you love. You'll drive for hours to be together, even if it's only for a short while. You don't mind staying up late to talk. Isn't that the truth? Remember those days when Kim and I were long distance, or you were long distance, some of you on the phone, like, no, I love you. You hang up. No, you hang up. Shmoopy, whoopy, right? You stand in the car for hours. No, you leave. No, you leave. Right? Remember those days when you actually laid on the couch to watch TV together? I'm like, go away. You're hot now. It's like, when you're in love, you go to great lengths. Walking in the rain is romantic. It's not annoying. You'll willingly spend a small fortune on the way, on the one you're crazy about. When you're apart from each other, it's painful, even miserable. He or she is all you think about. You jump at any chance to be together, and love flows easily. It is so true. When you encounter the love of the Father, love begets love. True love from the Father begets true love for the Father and for others. Here's my question. Do we believe Jesus loves us that much? It's the core truth. And I know it's hard to believe sometimes because we live in a loveless culture. But the core truth is to say every day, my Father loves me. Even if you don't believe it or feel it, my Father loves me. I am His beloved. He is mine. If we do not make that our first priority, we cannot love. And by the way, when you do not know you're loved, you cannot fully show love. And when you don't love yourself, you're hating the one who Jesus loves most. You're His prized, loved child. Other question I have, how many of us want what Jesus has for us more than we just want Him? How many come to Jesus to get what He does for us more than just coming to Him? And if we come for what He does for us, we might experience something, but we need to come with an attitude, I just want you. Because of who you are and how you live to show us your love. The Apostle John, in some of his last words, wrote a letter to the church called 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. His gospel called John, and he was 95 years old or ish when he wrote these letters. He was exiled to the island of Patmos. All the other disciples were martyred for their faith, and he was left to die on the island. And he was known as the lover. He called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, not because he was arrogant, because he wanted to know, that's my identity. And he wanted us to believe the same thing. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, he says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Our identity is beloved. Our identity is not do-loved. When you're in Christ and Christ is in you, you are the beloved. If I ever get a tattoo, it'll be over my heart called beloved. But I don't know that I can get a tattoo. I'm afraid of needles. But anyway, and as His beloved, He says, as a result of that, in light of that, flowing out of that, let us love one another. Why? Because love's from God. When you know God, you know love. When you know love, you show love. And anyone who does not love doesn't know God because God is love. It's not a conditional statement, love and then you'll be loved. No, it's if you know you're loved by God, you'll love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I don't care how good any of you think you are. I don't know how good I think I am. I am dirt. I am full of sin and I am dirt. I'm at the bottom of the barrel compared to God. And God loved me so much in the midst of my sin. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent His Son to be the propitiation, to take our place. It's a big word that means He stood in my place as the perfect God-man, took the sin of the world upon Him, died on the cross horrifically, rose again to show He's got power to conquer death and conquer my sin. And He says, now you're my son, now you're my daughter, stand strong in my love. And if you forget that, if you ever forget that, you won't love as you're called to love. But if you continue to remember that, not to self-flagellate, but remember, I don't deserve this love, that's when we change the world. What John is saying here, he keeps going. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also have to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. When we know we're loved and show His love, that's how we change the world. People see God when they see love in us. And he closes, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He's given us of His Spirit. When you say yes to Him and He says yes to you, when you admit your need and you believe in His resurrection, you receive the Spirit marking you for eternity. Nothing can separate you from His love, Romans 8. Nothing. And when we know this love, we'll show this love. He goes on in John chapter 4. This is the Message version, 17. God is love. When we take up permanent residence, a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on judgment day. How much fear do we have in the world? And he says, I want you to be free. When you sit in love, you're free of fear and worry. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. When you're in Jesus, and you're just like Jesus. God sees you. He sees his son. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, meaning fear of death, fear of judgment, fear of anything, is one not yet fully formed in love. When you sit in his love, you know his love, fear begins to dissipate. We, though, are going to love. Love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. You don't love him first to get his love. He loves you first. And if anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating their brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, they are a liar. If you've got someone you hate, someone you've got enmity against, battle against, you've got to stop that. I'm not saying you have them come live with you, but you got to forgive them. Because if they won't love the person, if we don't love the person they can't see, how can we love the person we can't see? He closes. The commandment we have from Christ is blunt. It's simple. It's hard. Loving God includes loving people. We've got to do both. Our command, our invitation is simple. It's hard. And it must be done every day to abide in him, to believe we're the beloved, and then give his love away. That's the kind of produce that the world needs to see. So here's our action steps. Abide in his love. Abide in his love. I invite you to carve out love worship songs. Just listen to remember. One of my favorites is, he loves us. Oh, how he loves me. Right? Like, it's the most selfless song you can sing to believe the truth. I'm loved. We're going to start a series next week on worship. Basically, the month of July is going to be worship. Worship songs. All worship weekend next weekend. To come just sit in the Father's love and abide in his love. And then decide to love. Out of abiding love, decide love. I want to invite you to read 1 John 4:7-21. Pray for people. Pray behind their back. Instead of talking behind people's backs, pray behind their back. It's simple to just sit in the Father's love, to believe we're loved. I think there's one person in my life that gets this more than anybody. It's this idea of just being with the Father and being loved. One person gets this more than anybody else. My dog, Maggie. I wish I had the heart of a dog. She's a 70-pound lap dog. I just sit on the couch and every day she just jumps up and she just keeps touching me, touch me. I'm here. This isn't an attitude of a cat, right? The attitude, if you love cats, I'm sorry. But cats are like, I'm God, come touch me. This dog is going, I just want to be near you. I just want to be near my master. I just want to be with my, I just want to know your love, be with your love. Boy, I was looking at her yesterday, having a quiet time, which I'm sitting there going, I want that heart. Just come sit with my Father. He said, would you be near me? I just closed my eyes. I said, Father, I just want to be near you. Just be near you. Come, Holy Spirit. I just said, come, Holy Spirit. As I sat there for 10 minutes, I just began to just get emotional and just heard the Father say, I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy. We get so tired, can't we? Get so worn out. And we don't abide, it shows. When you drive your car, when you're at the workplace, it shows, it comes out. Yeah. Person walked up to me recently, good person. And literally, I hadn't been doing an abiding. I've been just so busy. And I saw the person coming and literally in my mind, I thought, I don't care what she has to say. I want her to go away. And the Lord just stopped me and said, whoa, buddy, I love you. I love you. Now love, now be clear. That was an indicator. Go abide. Go get with the Father. Go sit with the Father. Be still and know that I am God. If you don't have a communion cup, why don't you grab one? I'm going to invite you to abide right now. We're just going to take some time to be still. In this next little 5 to 10 minutes, we're just going to be in a reflection moment. I invite you to just take a deep breath. Maybe I like to close my eyes so I don't see anything else around me. Just like lay back, head back. Maybe you say, thank you for loving me, Dad. Just say that, thank you for calling him Dad. Or maybe you want to call him Abba. Even if you don't feel loved, just thank you for loving me. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. If you feel unlovable right now, I want to break off that lie in Jesus' name. Break off a spirit of unloving, Father. Break off a spirit of unlovableness. Holy Spirit, descend on this place and let everyone know in this room that you, that they are your beloved. Come, Holy Spirit. Be still. We have a privilege to take communion to remember the Father's affection for us. I'm going to take the cracker out of the bottom. And we take this little cracker as a remembrance that God so loved you. He so loved the world, but he loved you. That he sent his one and only perfect Son into the world to take the sins of the world, to take your sins, my sins upon him, to be our propitiation, to stand in our place. And we take this cracker, remember his body was broken, full of love for us, to set us free. Do this in remembrance of that love. Then we drink the cup to remember his blood poured out. I sometimes like to picture him on the cross in agony and in pain. And looking at me, and he mouths the words, I love you, buddy. I did this for you. And I do this in remembrance of my brokenness and my need and the fact that he saved me. He saved you. Do this in remembrance of his love. The band's going to sing a song, this kind of in the background, called Abide. I invite you to sit in a posture of just receive. Abide in his love. Just worship. Thank you.
my daily bread. I depend on you. I depend on you for the sun to rise, for my sleep at night. I depend on you. I depend on you.
Continue to worship together.
We worship you, Jesus. You deserve all the glory, all the honor. Oh, we give it to you. We give give it to you. May your name be glorified.
Forever.
'Cause worthy you were, and worthy you are, worthy you will be forever, Yahweh. Worthy you were, help me never forget that worthy you are, and worthy you will be forever, Yahweh. Worthy you are, and worthy you are, worthy you will be forever, Yahweh. Worthy you are, worthy you are, worthy you will be forever, Yahweh.
Come on, Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We receive your love. We receive your love. We bask in your love. Invite more. Invite more. Break off lovelessness. Break off hatred. More, Lord.
Loves us, oh how he loves us, oh how he loves us, oh how he loves, yes he loves us, oh how he loves us, oh how he loves us, oh, how he loves.
We receive that truth, Lord. I want to invite the prayer teams down. And if you want prayer for anything, if you want to break off a spirit of unloving, you want to step into more love, we got ministry words. People have been asking the Lord what our audience here is needing. So if anything on this list is something for you, come get prayer. Come just abide. If you want to stay in your seat and just sit quietly, abide. If you're new and want to go to the Welcome Center, you can do that. Go check in. Remember, next week, July 2nd, only one service. We're going to party together as a family. All worship together. You guys, 9:30, you guys don't come at this time. So just, if you come early, you'll get some coffee. But come 11:30. Celebrate as a one big family next week on that holiday weekend. Bless you. Walk in the love of the Father. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.